A very warm welcome to the SaaS Business Podcast, specifically for those who run dynamic businesses, are SaaS pension trustees, and have decided to take full control of their personal wealth economy. In the podcast, I share with you how you can understand the power of this high-performance combination of business, SaaS, and wealth generation to create the power, freedom, and choice in your life and creating your multi-generational legacy. I am so passionate about business and SaaS pensions that I wrote a number one Amazon bestseller on the subject, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. To find out more about how SaaS can be a game changer in your personal economy, join thousands of SaaS trustees on our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and join us at www.saasalliance.org. Now let's get on with the podcast. Well, a very warm welcome to another episode of SaaS Business Podcast. And I'm delighted to welcome onto this episode, really good friend of mine and of SaaS Alliance. You're going to love this. Very warm welcome, Chris Henry.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for that introduction. That's great. Thank you.
How are you? Keeping well?
I'm really good. Keeping fit and healthy. I'm looking forward to post-lockdown, I must admit, but there's been a lot of advantages to lockdown. I think a lot of positives, and I think it's always good to look for the positives in life, that's for sure.
Absolutely, it is. We go back a long way now, but some of our audience may not know you, so maybe you give us a bit of an introduction as to who you are and where you come from.
Yeah, okay. So firstly, Mark, thanks for inviting me on this. I always feel kind of humbled that somebody's asked me to speak and people want to listen to me. I mean, it blows my mind, so I really appreciate you giving me the chance to speak to start with. My kind of background, Yorkshire born in Leeds, a place called Armley. Not the jail, by the way, but pretty close to the jail in Armley. I spent most of my childhood in Yorkshire, but I moved across to Lancaster for university, Manchester to train as an accountant. But I know where my roots are. And my roots are back here in Yorkshire, and that's where we've settled in the dream location. Interestingly, we've just moved to a place called Ilkley. People will know that from the song, hopefully. But we're here living the dream, really. And some of what we're going to talk about has helped us get to Ilkley. So I'm looking forward to telling you the story. So that's me. That's my background. I've got three children between us, myself and Tracy, who we're massively proud of. Tracy helps me in the business. Kids have pretty much grown up, but that's us as a family.
Brilliant. So your career, just talk to us a bit about your career over the years.
So my background, Mark, is finance. I'm a chartered accountant. I went to Lancaster University to study accountancy. Partway through, thought, God, this is far too exciting, and switched to do a marketing degree. So I came out of Lancaster, interestingly, with a marketing degree. I think it's always good to identify your flow. And I've got a creative slant, but numbers have always been a passion and what makes kind of numbers work. So I went back to finance and trained as a chartered accountant in Manchester. Once I qualified, which was a bit of a tough journey for me, really, because you've left university, you've done all the kind of degree, and then you're into kind of 3 years of study for accountancy exams. But it's at a time in your life when there's a lot of distractions. You know, you're 21, 22, 23, and sports being a big part of my life as well. So trying to balance the kind of accountancy training with quite an active social life was a tough one. But I got there, qualified, came back to Yorkshire from Manchester, and started life in banking with a building society, no longer exists, and a building society called Leeds Permanent Building Society. And I stayed there through various mergers. Leeds Permanent Building Society merged with the Halifax HBOS, dare I say HBOS. I was there through the crash when the share price was dropping like a stone, and then HBOS into Lloyds. So really been there for 24 years, 24 years in banking. And the main part of what I did in banking was what we call business partnering. I'm a big fan of teams. I enjoy being part of a team. And the thing I love about teams is seeing people who I know better than me, seeing them develop and overtake me. That, for me, is a real passion. And it's something we should never fear. Just to see on LinkedIn people who, if I look at their LinkedIn profile now and how well they're doing, and they were part of my team, nothing gives me more satisfaction than that, Mike. So business partnering, leading teams in the bank, facing into change was a part of the latter part of what we got involved in, where the mergers, I was involved in the TSB demerger, creating a bank out of a bank. That was quite interesting. So good experience, but a good platform for setting up your own business, which is what I've got now.
Really resonates with me, the point of growing the teams. I always took a similar view, rather than that civil service approach, as I always thought it was.
Yeah.
If you can do my job, then, you know, they'll kick me out. I worked in a very rapidly changing world, and quite the opposite. The quicker somebody could do what I could do, or even better, I could move on to other things.
Absolutely.
I might have only had two employers in my corporate career, but yeah. I probably had 60 or 70 roles because yes. I was always growing and bringing the team with you, and they would walk 1,000 miles over broken glass. It was
brilliant, like it.
So you took some steps to take a SaaS a number of years ago. So what made you decide to take a SaaS, and take us through that journey?
I think it's always good to look for the emotion, I think, and emotion drives us. 80% of what we do in life is driven by emotion. And the bit I didn't mention in the background was, well, two things that really have had a big impact on my life and drove me to take a different path, i.e. leave banking. Firstly, in 2005, I had quite a brush with death in Madeira. I had ended up with a pulmonary embolism, which came from a blood clot in my leg. Tracy and myself had arranged to fly to Madeira, which is a very special place for us. I didn't feel well just before the flight, took the flight, and ended up in quite a lot of trouble when we got to Funchal. So I was whisked up into the mountains above Funchal into a hospital, and I spent 2 weeks in that hospital really struggling, to be honest. So I was struggling, and I was almost an object of curiosity in the hospital because people were quite surprised I'd survived it. But it was 2 weeks of chance to reflect and chance to appreciate how fragile life is and how lucky I was. So that was a bit of a life-defining moment. And at that point, I kind of knew I didn't want to carry on doing what I was doing. Something had to change moving forward. And it took me a while to get there, but that was a bit of a game changer for me. That's kind of item number one. And I think it's good to look for the triggers. Normally there's a trigger in your life or a trigger in somebody else's life that gets you to just think differently about your life. The second trigger for me is I've got a daughter, Alex. Alex is 25. She's got a disease called cystic fibrosis, which is a very difficult disease to deal with. It's genetic. It involves damage to the lungs over a gradual period of time. And it means it's a shortened life expectancy. So again, that kind of refocuses your plan on your life. And a lot of what we've done with our SaaS, which I'll come to, is driven by trying to create as good a life for Alex as we possibly can. If I'd carried on in banking until I was 65, you know, I wasn't going to get the best in terms of my interaction with Alex, and she wasn't going to get the best out of me. So we're big fans of living legacy. So Alex is getting the benefit of what we've done with our SaaS now. And just to be able to see your kids enjoy your legacy, what's the point of the kids enjoying the legacy and you not seeing it? I don't get that. So this is a great opportunity for us to create a living legacy and see our children enjoy the fruits of our endeavours. So it's important that I mention that, Mark, because that's really what's driven me to do what I've done. My interface with SaaS came when I decided to become a business coach. So I decided, never floated my CV on LinkedIn. An organisation called Action Coach got in touch with me, got a business proposition. I liked it. It's my own business. But I wanted to find a way of actually acquiring the franchise. I'd take redundancy from Lloyds, by the way. And I had a feeling there's a way of, in a very tax-efficient way, acquiring the franchise. And I was introduced to Kevin Whelan, and Kevin helped me understand how I could use my redundancy and subsequently my pension to buy the franchise and then go on to do other things. So that was the first interaction with Kevin. He explained all about SaaS. It took me really 12 months to get to grips with the whole concept of it. It felt a bit too good to be true. And I suppose that's where we kind of started to kind of understand the art of the possible. And the journey really started from there by being guided by Kevin and by speaking to other people that had been there and done it. That's where we got connected with SaaS.
That's wonderful, heartfelt areas there that I'm sure will resonate with a lot of our audience. So as well as investing in business, could you share with us some of the things that you've considered and sure. done over the years?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've done quite a lot, actually. So, August 2014 was when the SaaS was set up. So, what's that, six years ago. So, we've done quite a bit in that period of time. If I just run through what we've done, and by the way, I'm not qualified to give advice. I'm just telling you my story, by the way. So, I always say that before I start to speak. So, I was able to buy the franchise using the SaaS, using something called a loan back. So, a loan from the SaaS into my business coaching company, secured against the value of the franchise. So, even though the franchise is intangible, it's an asset, and we use that as a basis for acquiring the franchise. So that was the first kind of transaction. And then we're into, I mean, I'm a Yorkshireman, so it was a reasonable sized amount of money sat in the SaaS. Both myself and my wife Tracy transferred our final salary pensions out into the SaaS. I'm a Yorkshireman, you know, and I don't like the idea of money sat there. I remember being on the phone to Lars Singleton, who was our corporate trustee, saying, Lars, we need to get this moving, you know. And great piece of advice from Lars there, which was, you know, it's better to be sat there in cash, Chris, than you to rush into something that's going to create risk. That's always stuck with me, that, you know, we just got to be patient with how we deploy our SaaS funds. So the first series of transactions were loans to third-party property developers, again, in a very controlled way, generally within a community that we're part of, which is called Wealth Builders. So we're lending on their developments, always taking a first charge. That's our policy. With a third-party loan, you don't have to take a first charge. That's always certainly been our policy. Never lending any more than 75% of the value of the transaction. So, you know, lending in a control way. And we did about 89 loans with some great people, all very successful. The money came back in. Some we had more interaction with than others. Now, one in particular stood out who we developed quite a strong relationship with, a guy called Chris Payton. Chris doesn't mind me mentioning his name, but he probably wouldn't thank me for people giving him a ring or emailing him. So I just thought I'd mention that. He's quite a private person. But you start to figure out, why do we get on so well with Chris? And we got on well with Chris because it was all down to values. And again, great exercise for people to do is just figure out what your values are, what makes you tick, what's important to you in life. And once you get those top three or four things, you start to realize who you get on best with. Chris is very aligned in terms of his values. And we started to focus our lending on him and his developments up in the Northeast. He's a HMO specialist. And so three or four loans to Chris, very successful. We didn't ask. Then Chris said, what about property for you and Tracy? Now, that's the measure of the man, isn't it? When somebody, we didn't ask. I'm not great at asking people for things. I love helping other people, but I'm not great at asking for help. Anyway, Chris offered. We said, that'd be fantastic. So then we started on our own journey of acquiring property in the Northeast. So we have property in the Northeast, HMOs, largely helped in the process through Chris. So that was the next step of the journey. And then we started to speak to other people about what we're doing, and people start to get interested. So we've got a network of probably about 12 people with either cash or with SASSs who are generally close friends or close contacts. So they started to take an interest in what we were doing. So we formed a very informal group centered around Newcastle, centered around Chris. When we get together, well, pre-lockdown, we get together every quarter. And it's very, very informal. It's nothing as structured as the SaaS Alliance, which is fantastic, by the way. It's an hour's worth of kind of education and sharing. And it quickly cascades into carnage in the centre of Newcastle, where we just go around the bars in Newcastle. But it's great fun and we all get on really well, you know. So, and for me, when you can mix business like pleasure, I mean, that's the dream. So we started to use that network a little bit to help them get into lending. And we've done a few kind of transactions together. We've done a couple of syndicated loans where two or three of us have joined together and lent to a third party. We also helped four of our contacts almost incubate them. So we brought them into our SaaS. So we ended up with six people in our SaaS at one point. So they were in our SaaS. These are close friends. I suggest you do it with anybody that you don't know really well. So again, that was just to help them on their journey, just to guide them. We did some transactions together. They have now moved out of our SaaS. That wasn't that straightforward because you've got to carve the SaaS up and you've got to agree how you're going to organize the SaaS while you're all together. Not for everybody, but it certainly helped them on their journey. We've done some borrowing. So obviously the SaaS can borrow. You can borrow up to 50% of the value of the SaaS. So we've borrowed money into the SaaS and onward transacted with that funding. And we're just about to start to look into commercial property, which is an area that we've not really spent much time on. So we're just in the process of a transaction that is going to help us get involved in commercial property. That's a joint venture with another SaaS holder with a developer in Scotland. So that's the sequence, really, I think. What I love about it, Mark, though, is how it changes lives. And there's a couple of examples of, well, it's certainly changed our lives, Tracy and myself. And this is it's a bit of a sad story, but it just shows how. There's a book in this, Mark. I'm sure there's a book in this. It's how life is changed by SaaS. You know, the personal stories. Yeah, that's probably something to think about at some point in the future. But one of our close contacts, sadly, his wife contracted cancer. She was pregnant at the time, and she had a choice to make between saving herself and saving her daughter, Poppy. And she chose to save Poppy. So this particular lady is not around anymore, but Poppy, the daughter, is. She's now five. We're really close friends with the father. And he's got three daughters, including Poppy. He would have had to carry on working on the docks in Immingham had he not known about SaaS. A simple conversation about SaaS and what we're doing with SaaS completely changed his life. He had quite a sizable final salary pension scheme. Once he got educated, he took control of it, and he's got freedom to spend time with three girls that, sadly, no longer have a mother. But Neil wouldn't have had that freedom and flexibility. And that's the thing that, for me, is amazing about SaaS and the kind of the mechanism that we've got at our disposal.
That's an incredibly powerful story.
Yeah.
Freedom of choice to be who you want to be and be
absolutely
who you want to be with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's important because it is emotion that drives us. And he has said that he's going to stand on stage and tell the story. I want to be alongside him when he does that.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Mm. Yeah, so that's the journey, Mark. Complete game changer. I love it. Absolutely love it. We didn't have the SaaS Alliance. We didn't have you. And a lot of us have got a lot to thank you for. And I think you've got to recognize the people in your life that helped you get there. and people like Kevin Whelan and Lars Singleton and the team, because it's very easy just not to recognise the team they've got underneath them. The likes of Vicky and Marion and Janice and Sasha in Empowered, who we're with, they're our SaaS providers. They're a team and they've certainly helped us on the journey to get there. And I always thank them for helping us get there.
I think it's certainly in our journey, we've never suffered from procrastination, and it doesn't look as though you have either.
Yeah.
A user saying, you know, to get to version 10, you've got to start with version 1.
Yes.
Yeah. We do a lot of due diligence, but equally we do that quickly, move swiftly. And every transaction we do, there's some more embedded learning in it.
Yes.
I'm sure you've probably experienced something similar.
Absolutely right, yeah. I think that's the thing about the community is how abundant it is. And that's the thing I've learned about, certainly the property community, the SaaS community, compared with corporate life. Corporate life is quite competitive. People generally want us to get on, aren't they, and get on and above. But in the world we're in, it's very abundant, and people, more than I'm used to experiencing, are happy to share experience, share knowledge. That, for me, has been one of the keys to our progress. And we're not the finished article yet, but you'll lean on others. You know, ask others for help, because it's not something I find easy, but I've dealt with that by saying, I love helping people. That's one of my highest values. And if I don't let somebody else help me, I'm denying them the pleasure that I get from helping them, not other people. So why would I deny them the pleasure, you know? So,
and look, life isn't easy, and we come across challenges along the way, and have to kind of fail forward in some respects.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Along the way, are there a couple of lessons learned or challenges along the way that you maybe pick out?
Yeah, well, I think one I've touched on, which is be patient, you know, be patient. And it's not easy when you've got a chunk of money in your SaaS and you know, it's not earning the rate it should do, but definitely be patient. That's certainly one lesson, and I learned that right from the start. Good to spread your risk, I think, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of us are very interested in property, I think, but it's good to look at other opportunities and kind of just diversify. Definitely get educated and do that by speaking to people that have been there and done that. There's always somebody that's further ahead than you. And Mark, you've helped me and on my journey. And I think it's good just to reach out to people that are just that little bit further ahead than you and learn from their mistakes. And don't worry about making mistakes. Mistakes are all part of the journey on the road to kind of success and progress. I think having a clear picture of what things look like when it's finished. I mean, in coaching, we ask, one of the questions we ask is, what does your business look like when it's finished? Get that clarity. You know, Stephen Covey, start with the end in mind. I mean, I'm doing a little bit of wealth coaching at the moment, and I'm not convinced everybody's got clarity on what they're trying to create at the end of it. So the clearer the picture you've got at the end of it, without that, you're sat there without a destination. You can easily flip around from one side to another and not really get a focused trajectory forward. So just a few things there. Finally, it's all about connections, you know, and we could have done nothing like what we've done so far. And we've got a long way to go without the connections and the relationships that we've created. And that, for me, is where the fun is as well. So they're the things I'd pick out, Mark, in terms of just things to watch out.
Some real, real golden nuggets there. Mm-hmm. We always ask the question to all stakeholders involved in any development, business, whatever we're dealing with at the time, of what does great look like to you?
Yeah, brilliant.
And it's amazing the diversity. And as a corporate troubleshooter for 20 years, I've had to unpick a lot of joint venture structures that have gone pear-shaped for whatever reason. But pretty consistently, one of those factors has been that non-alignment of what the exit looks like. And that could be the use of time, deployment of capital, return, values. As you say, as time goes by, that the values get exposed if there's any non-alignment. So that's a really, really valuable question to ask. What does great look like to you? Mm. We've got 4 trustees in our SaaS. I think you've got 2. You said you've had a number of others over the years.
We had 6 at one point. We've got 2 now. Back to me and Tracy. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, you know, it really does galvanise that thought process, doesn't it?
You're
all aligned.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And plans for the future, Chris?
Today, okay. yeah, really excited about the future. I mean, we'll carry on doing what we're doing. I mean, I'm very structured in terms of the way I kind of plan my year and my week. The big things that I'm excited about are Chris Payton and myself. We're now connected now, so we can't lend to Chris, but because we're kind of in business together, we've set up a company that is going to do 2 things. It's going to look at commercial to residential, so we're just waiting for the right opportunity, being very measured. Again, this is where the patience comes. Looking for the right opportunity, make sure it's where the numbers stack. Make sure Chris is the technical expert. Make sure we're comfortable that it's the right opportunity. So we've looked at 1 or 2, but you've got to wait for the right one, I think, for sure. And the other thing that we're in the process of piloting is The HMO model that Chris operates is highly systemized. I mean, I'm a big fan of systemization. It's driven very much by resource in the Philippines. So there's value in that for sure. There's value for Chris, but there's also value for other people who might be able to kind of benefit from that level of systemization. So what we're looking at is almost not quite franchising, but certainly partnering or looking for partners with other people, other developers that have got the same values as we have that are looking to get into HMOs. And there's a couple of different models we're looking at. One is a 50-50 model where we each put money in, but there's also a model where somebody may not have the funding. We've got the leverage of funding in the background now. So we're just looking for the right people, people that have got similar values to us, people that might have a construction background, but people that are serious about growing a property portfolio in a systemized way. So we're just piloting that with somebody in the Midlands. That's quite interesting. Once we've piloted it, you'll probably hear a bit more about it.
Good. Always keeping busy. The thrill of business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if people want to get in contact with you, Chris, and I'm sure they will after this fascinating episode, how would they best get in contact with you?
I think the best place, because we've got the two businesses. We've got the business coaching, which is a passion. We've got the kind of wealth side. The best place is LinkedIn. I mean, it's got my website on there. It's got videos of some of the stuff I've done. So LinkedIn is probably the best place to look. It's the best port to call, I think. So.
Brilliant.
On LinkedIn, but happy to speak to anybody.
Look, it's always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for your time.
All right.
Have a great weekend, you and Tracy. And thank you once again, Chris Henry.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
Are you inspired and want to know more? Well, join our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and check out my number one Amazon best-selling book, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. You can also check out SaaS Alliance website at www.saasalliance.org. Until next time, thank you for listening.